Joyce, you are teaching the assembly that the ultimate path is without difficulty. Just avoid picking and choosing. As soon as there are words spoken, this is picking and choosing. This is clarity. This old monk doesn't abide within clarity. Do you still preserve anything or not? At that time, a certain monk asked, since you do not abide within clarity, what do you preserve? Joshua replied, I don't know either. Monk said, since you do not know, teacher, why do you nevertheless say that you do not abide within clarity? Joshua said, it is enough to ask about the matter. Bow and withdraw. Joshua was one of the greatest Zen teacher in China in the 8th century. They said that he became a monk at 60 years old. At 60 years old. And he said, practiced again and again. Dogen really admired this Joshi Zen master. In Shobo Gendo, he mentioned about Joshi very much. And also he, the Joshi was the Zen master belonged to a Rinzai line, but he never used the shout, he uses very common words. He lived in usual way, but his statement was very sharp, to piercing the all monk's heart. That's why everyone was admired him very much. The Joshu is the name of the place, location of his temple, named Kannon Hen. So one day, Joshu, teaching the assembly, said, the ultimate path is without difficulty. Just avoid picking and choosing. As soon as there are words spoken, this is picking and choosing, this is clarity. It comes from the third patriarch's statement, which occurs in the belief in the heart, in mind. He says, the ultimate path is without difficulty, just avoid picking and choosing. Just don't love or hate, and you will be lucid and clear. So Joshu quoted just the first two verses. The ultimate path is without difficulty, just avoid picking shooting. So archery park means, yesterday I told you that task is the same as the task of the fundamental ego of transcendence. Usually truth is regarded as the something which exists far from us, which no one can touch. But I don't think Buddhism doesn't understand in that way. Truth is always with us. So, the characteristic of truth is completely something transcendent, which means beyond human speculation, good or bad, right or wrong. All are its merits. All beings live in peace and harmony. That is characteristic of truth or universe, unifying all things beyond human judgment, good or bad, right or wrong. So from this point, how we can approach how we can reach this truth. That's why anywhere we have to manifest ourselves in the state of transcendence. Transcendence means the person, a state of a person who is never tossed away by judgment, good or bad, right or wrong. That's why in the Zen, we shouldn't judge ourselves, good or bad, right or wrong. Anyway, right now, right here, all you have to do is to let flower of life force bloom. That time, good or bad, right or wrong appears, disappears very naturally. But even slightly, if you meddle with those stuff, judgment, evaluation, simultaneously, there are many kinds of afflictive preconceived appear. That is a problem for us, which leaves human beings in confusion, in bewilderment. So in order to be one with the truth, anyway, we have to manifest ourselves in the state of person who is never tossed away by thoughts and ideas. That means, yesterday I told you, under all circumstances, we have to release and forget ourselves and throw ourselves away to the Zen when you have to do the Zen. So you have to do the show, we have to do that. At that time, you can really manifest yourself, blooming the flower of life force from moment to moment. Wherever you may be, it is just like the lotus flower. So that is the task of the fundamental vehicle of transcendence, which is called the ultimate path. That is really great vehicle which you are right on. It's not something, truth is not something which we can think, we can envision, we can believe, but it is something that you have to be right on. That is the ultimate path. At that time, it is without difficulty. It's really just to be right on the vehicle. which is absolutely transcendent from human evaluation. I told you someday there are three ways to know, to understand the something. One is to know something with perception. Through the perception, you can create the world where you can pretty easily express your emotional stuff. Hatred and hatred triggers many emotional things come up. Well, this is a common, very usual lifestyle we do. Because there are lots of fascination, there are lots of fun, there are lots of excitement in the realm of expressing directly our emotional self. Whenever we are confronted with, but it is also simultaneously human trouble. This is first way to understand, to know our lives, our human world. The second way is to know through the consciousness, the vijñāna. Consciousness is a principle of intellect, understanding deeply using our intellect. So, consciousness is very important for us. Without consciousness, we cannot understand, we cannot exist as a human being. So consciousness is leads you to cross to the truth. But it is still not good enough. So third, Buddhism emphasizes we should understand something with prajna, wisdom. So wisdom is through the wisdom we should understand something which it has already been created by our consciousness. So that understanding is really limited by individual experience, individual understanding. So, I told you very often, first stage, mountains are mountains. This is a very usual understanding. But that is also very limited, narrow understanding, because that mountain is something understood through the perceptions, through our perceptions, that's enough. So simultaneously, there are lots of restrictive differences. When the winter comes and covered with the mountains, with snow, immediately we hate the snow because snow interrupts the mountain's life, which should be beautiful. So, we hate the snow, but we hate the cold. But actually, no matter how long we hate snow and the winters and cold weather, well, when the time comes to be winter, winter comes. So, from where those affective preferences come, that is really, it comes from perception. So, second stage, we should say mountains are not mountains. So, what you have understood are not real mountains. So we should polish the our own understanding more, researching and studying the structure of human world, human being, philosophically, psychologically, religiously, empirically, and then we should know what is basic essence of nature, essence of being. Then third, finally, you can reach mountains, our mountains. That mountains are really beautiful mountains which are never tossed away by human evaluation or judgment. Then always says, willow is green, flowers red. That means really third. Something seen at the third stage. So with wisdom, we can understand the mountains which are intact, which are intact by anybody, nobody. So it is beautiful mountains. At that time, that is alternate path. Flowers, mountains, rivers, stars, waters, creeks, pebbles, insects, animals, all are going on this path. That path is completely alternate. No one can pass. No one can contaminate by afflictive preferences. When the time comes, winter comes. When no time comes, summer comes. Whatever you think, whatever you feel. That is the state of being, which is called suchness, as it isness. In other words, this is the ultimate path. Everyone, human beings, all beings should go through this path. At that time, that path becomes great vehicle. All we have to do is just be right on. At times, it is without difficulty. It tells you to, anyway, the ultimate path. So just avoid picking and choosing. Problem is we create simultaneously uplifted preferences when you judge, when you evaluate. The judgment evaluate should follow anywhere afflictive preferences simultaneously. That's why that is a problem for us. That's why it says avoid picking and choosing, but actually there is no way to picking, choosing. We are picking, choosing. But if you try to escape or avoid picking and choosing, you create more picking and choosing. So what do you mean? Avoid picking and choosing. Well, we have to understand pretty deeply the structure of our understanding through the study, the gradual, the practical study, and also empirically religiously. Then you can find what is the way avoiding picking and choosing. As soon as there are words spoken as this is picking and choosing, but the moment when you use words, that is already picking and choosing. In other words, when you see microphone is already microphone are picked and chosen by you, by your consciousness. So already microphone is something fabrication of consciousness. And this is the picking and choosing, and this is clarity. So picking and choosing, the microphone of the picked and chosen by consciousness is, anyway, being seen at the first stage on this mountain. That is really perverted, it's not deep. Perverted view means not something wrong. It is okay because we are there, but it is perverted. It's not deep. It's not deep. It's very narrow understanding. That's why we have to go through all the time there. That is, secondly, if you realize what first stage mountains are mounting through perception. At that time, while you can simultaneously, you can enter into second stage, that is mountains are not mountains. But if you don't awaken to first stage, you always use your consciousness. At that time, this is what is called illusion. So, anyway, we have to understand awaken to our understanding, how we understand. So that is, anyway, if you the microphone picked and chosen by your consciousness is nothing but illusion. When you realize this, that is, anyway, simultaneously you can enter the gate of second stage, which is called mountains are not mountains. This is called enlightenment. So that is next stage. This is clarity. So you can see a very clear vision of microphone, including in the universe. So this automark doesn't abide within clarity. Do you still preserve anything or not? So whether you say the archimic path is completely beyond delusion or enlightenment. So while you can say this is delusion or this is enlightenment, that is still already, you are already in the world of picking and choosing. If you say you are enlightenment or you are delusion, that is discrimination. Already that is in the realm of picking and choosing, that delusion. Even though you say, I am imagined person, it's always it was picking and choosing. Real enlightenment is completely no word. So, when you have, when you see delusions through and through, until the word drops off, by that time you can enter into the gate of enlightenment. That is enlightenment. But if you are stuck there, it is not enlightenment. So, until the word of enlightenment completely drops off, no word. That time, that is real enlightenment. Real enlightenment. When you want to help with your own intention, while you are depending on your intention, trying to help, at that time you can help somebody. So lots of confusion there. Afflictive come, the preferences come up. So completely no intention. When you have completely no intention to help or not help, at that time, you can really help, because your words, any words, any behavior are really in accord with helping others. That is helping. Perfection of help, giving. That is, that's why the old monk, the Joshu, says, I don't abide with impurity. I don't abide with enlightenment, because he knows what is real enlightenment. Real enlightenment is enlightenment with which its words completely drops away. At that time, enlightenment really exists. When you understand truth, there is no word. We cannot explain. But we get with it is with you constantly. Truth works on your life, constantly penetrating. That's why everyone can realize who you are. So, the Joshu says, I don't abide with impurity. Do you still preserve anything or not? Actually, there is nothing to preserve there. What is called enlightenment, what is called delusion, what is called something between, nothing to preserve. Just here. But Joshu said, do you still preserve anything or not? That is really checking with the mind. To see how he understands the ultimate path. So, at that time, a certain monk asked, since you do not abide with impurity, what do you preserve? Because, well, this monk is really sharp. He understands already what the clarity is, what the ultimate path. So all the monks said, I don't abide. So monks really pierced his heart. Since you do not abide with impurity, what do you preserve? There is nothing to preserve. Why do you say so? The Joshu replied, I don't know either. But this, I don't know either, is really sharp, great answer. Just like Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma said, I don't know, when he was asked by Emperor Wu, so who is you in front of me? Because he said, truth is, essence of Buddhism is vastness, and nothing holy, completely beyond holiness or non-holiness. If there is absence from Buddhism, appearance to who you are. Bodhidharma, who you are. In front of me, you are just. If there is no holiness, no sense of holiness, no sense of ordinary person, who you are. Bodhidharma says, I don't know. But this I don't know is not exactly the same as we say, I don't know. Completely different. So, Joshua replied, I don't know either. We should understand. Well, deeply through our path. The monk said, since you don't know, still monks are anyway taught. He taught, well, on Joshua the master. Since you don't know, teacher, why do you nevertheless say that you don't know about Jesus Christ? It is really true. Anyway, he, this monk, completely drive Joshua Zen Master at the corner of the no world. Because he said, I don't know. He says, I am not present in the clarity. Why do you know? Why do you know you are not in Christ? It is because you don't know. But this is very, very sharp monk. Monk is very sharp. So completely Joshua was driven at the corner by this sharp monk. Sometimes most of our people are very confused. Very confused. But Joshua was very great Zen master. So he said, he was not confused. He said, it is enough to ask about the matter, bow and go away. This is a great answer too. Well, usually in the Zen monastery, the monks first bow, the monks who want to ask the teacher, first he has to bow and ask. Make a question. After he gets the teacher gives answer to the monk, and the monk understands, at that time, monk bow again and leave. This is custom. Before and after he bow. This is manner when you have to ask teacher in the monastery. So, he bowed before he asked, and then he asked such and such, and finally when the time comes to leave, anyway, he has to bow. So Joshua said, it's time comes to go away. So that's why bow is strong. But this is the Joshua Zen Master uses real situation. Well, for instance, when the time comes to have a breakfast, okay, well, maybe Joshua says, go away to have a breakfast. Maybe when the time comes to drink a cup of tea, or maybe Joshua says, go and drink a cup of tea and leave. Maybe so. When the time to wash your face in the morning, but go to bathroom to wash your face. Or any time, his answer was, please, that's it. So that is Joshua's answer. It is not to ask about the matter, or no matter how long you discuss with your head, it goes endless, ridiculous. What for? You don't know. Why do you know that? It's ridiculous. because the intellectual sense cannot pop up between the truth and dualistic truth and dualistic world. There is a gap. How can you stop up this gap? By intellect? No way. If you try to stop up to this gap with intellect, the more you create, the more the gap is getting bigger. So, sooner or later, you have to stop it. You have to stop it. That's why Joseph said, it's enough to ask about the matter, please bow and go away. And let's see the angle the master's nose. The first one, angle the master says, what's the old fellow doing? Don't create complications. This is a note, first note, for the Joshua teaching the assembly said. Note says, what's the old fellow doing? Don't create complications. Of course, if the truth is, just like mountains are mountains, cloud is the stars, pebble is pebble, why do we have to explain? It's not necessary to explain. The willow is green, the flower is the red. If it is truth, why do we have to explain? That's why Joseph said, what's the old fellow doing? Don't create complication. In other words, don't give people trouble. For century after century, Buddha, patriarch, anyway, give people, human beings, trouble for 2,500 years. That is important for us. Otherwise, we don't know. We don't know the flower is green, flower is red, field is green. So, trouble is not complicated. It's very good for us. Very good for us. Because complication doesn't come from something else. Complication comes from us. We are already complicated. We as humans is already complicated. So who creates complication? We create. Mountains are just a mountain, that's enough. But we don't understand in that way. Why? So, we have to understand, well, what is intuition, what is the judgment, what is the inference, what is the words. Then, philosophically, psychologically, we analyze, synthesize. It is really complicated. What is the reflection? Why do we suffer? Why do we laugh? Well, these all things come out very well because human is already complicated and human always reflect upon ourselves. That's why there are pleasure, feeling of pleasure, suffering, pain, and also deep understanding. So, Joshua said, and no angle then Master said, what the old fellow doing? Don't create complications. The note for the ultimate path is without difficulty, says, not hard, not easy. English says not hard, not easy. The real truth is complete beyond hardness, hard and easy. Why he says actually truth is actually practice not difficult. Well, ultimate truth is complete beyond hard and easy. But this is, anyway, the notes, the Engels notes are always criticizing him, criticizing and raving and completely throw away. Well, always the notes that. But whatever the notes, Engels, they must look at the koan from a different angle, a different angle. Because everyone looks at the same subject from a different angle. Someone praise this angle, or someone praise criticize the Jesuits and the monks, etc. So that's why the Engelsen master understands Koans from different angles. That's why sometimes he praise, admire Jesuits, sometimes admire the monks. Who make a question, whatever it is, ridiculous or wise question. Anyway, sometimes admire, sometimes, anyway, look down upon him. But whatever he does, it has, anyway, deep meaning. So here, same apply to the notes for the ultimate path is without difficulty. Why did he say not difficult? Difficult. Because truth is completely beyond hard or easy. But not for the just avoid picking and choosing. Say what in front of your eyes. The third patriarchy is still alive. This is a statement that the Engelsen master pokes fun at the, in any way, Joshua. The statement comes from, I told you, belief in mind. Mentioned by the third patriarch. So, what's in front of your eyes? What if you say, don't pick up anything, don't choose anything. In other words, same applies to the Bodhidharma says. What is the merit? After practicing for many, many years, what's the merit? He says, no merit. What? So, if you practice, there is no reward, no result. Well, what does Buddhism teach us? If you practice, you can make a progress in your practice. But he says, no. So what's the essence of the Buddhism? What is the essence of Buddhist teaching? Bodhidharma says nothing, and the vastness of nothing holy. Vastness of nothing holy means nothing complete. If it is true, why? Bodhidharma, you are here. As what is called them monks coming from India, you are here. What do you want to teach? You want to teach a Buddhist. From where do you come? You come from India. Already you are here. So, what Bodhidharma says, I don't know. So, the angle says, what's in front of your eyes? Microphone is microphones. Table is tables. tell them things exactly here. Whatever you say, don't pick up. Don't pick up anything. Don't choose anything. Still, here is a table. Here is a microphone, as it is. Why do you have to say? So what is the tape? What is the microphone? So, anyway, I invite the master, Paul, to find, and anyway, Joshua, the master. You are just like a third patriarch who was alive now. It looks like a third patriarch. So that means Engelden Master teased the note for the fourth note for as soon as there are words spoken, this is the picking and choosing, this is clarity. Says two heads, three faces, are a little boasting. When the fish swims through, the water is muddy. When the bird flies by, feathers fall. Two heads, three faces. For as soon as there are words spoken, this is picking and choosing, this is clarity. The Joseph said, as soon as, if you use the words, use the words, already you care. Don't use the words. Avoid the picking and choosing, already you care. That's why two heads, three faces. It means you use already. For instance, doesn't, in the then, well, we say, don't think good or bad. Well, don't think, or think not thinking. Okay? Well, whatever you say, what you don't think in the then, what do you mean? Don't think means, should I think? Or, shouldn't I think? In the then, so you say, yes, I am. You say, I am not thinking. When you don't think, can you say, I am not thinking? No, you cannot say. If you say so, you are already thinking. So always that is a two heads, or three faces. That means you are already dualistic. Really pity. So I am, well, for instance, I don't care, okay? You know, what is your purpose of your life? You say, I don't care. But I don't care, it's not exactly, I don't care. You really care. So that's why you say, I don't care. I don't care is already the outlook on life, okay? Your principle. Your discipline of your life. You cannot completely you don't care. Okay? If completely you don't care, you cannot say you don't care. Because you are dead. If you completely confused in the world of confusion, well, you can just accept confusion. But if you say, "Officer, I'm confused," that is not exactly confusion, accepting confusion. You are already looking at the confusion in the dualistic world. That's why you are really screaming, shouting anyway. But if you are completely one with confusion, nothing to say. If you are present in the realm of not thinking completely, you can say, I am not thinking. So that's why the Joshi says that as soon as there are words spoken, this is picking and choosing, this is clarity. If say so, why do you say avoid picking and choosing? So three heads and three faces are little boasting, little boasting. When a fish, it's little boasting means it's really tough. See, if you concentrate on, if you have a complete concentration on breath or so, then you really think, I get the little concentration, right concentration. This is little boasting. Really fast, because it is already the purpose of the good concentration seen in the dualistic world. If you are exactly one with perfect concentration, no words, you cannot say, no two heads, no three faces, exactly one, the words please drop off. So, a little boasting. When the fish sails through, the water is muddy. When the bird flies by, feathers fall. Anyway, when the fish sails through, the water is muddy. Well, white crane. They stand up in the snow. It looks like they white all snow, so you don't realize where the crane is. But you say crane, white crane on snow. It is that explanation is already something to add to white snow. Exactly. No discrimination there. Nothing to say. Because crane is white, snow is white. But if you say the truth is just like white crane on snow, it is still explanation. Complete concentration is no word of concentration. It is also still explanation. So real concentration, what is called no word of concentration, is from moment to moment concentration is alive without leaving any place. So truth is really something which is realized from moment to moment. It's not the intellectual sense. It's not intellectual understanding. It's not emotional self. It's not, spiritual stuff. Well, nothing to say. Anyway, I can't explain. But you can. You have to say something. That's why, in many ways, to explain it. Fifth note for this old monk doesn't abide with clarity. His seething intent already shows where is the old fellow going. His seething intent already shows, because as soon as you use a word, okay, you are picking, choosing. Don't use the word. Then old monk, he says, I don't abide within the clarity. That means, already I told you, when you don't think, you say, I don't think now. But it is already you are thinking. That's why his seething intent already shows you are thief. Anyway, you already pick, and it's already you are revealing yourself as a
see. Where is the old fellow going? Where are you heading for? You say, I don't know. Ask my feet. It is already. You show yourself as a thief. You are not true to yourself. If you don't know where you are heading for, you cannot say so. You just go with careful attention. But you say, I don't know where I am heading for. It is not true. It's not too way to it. So I told you before, someone occupied somebody on the train, streetcar, where I'm heading for. He says, I don't know. I don't know where I'm heading for. At my feet. Here is confusion. That is making that. Take note, says he's defeated. Still there is something or a half. Anyway, he says in the main case, it is a note for, do you still preserve anything or not? It's really just you try to pick up somebody. Okay, fine, try to find somebody who is skeptical of this question. About this question. Okay. That's why the angel says he's defeated. Still there is something or half. Is there anyone who is against, who has some doubt? So finally, he found if there is a monk who wants to make a question. The seventh note for at that time a certain monk asked, since you do not abide with impiety, what do you preserve? It says the monk presses him well. His tongue is pressed against the roof of the mouth. That means Engel really instigates the monk to act more. You are a good boy. Go ahead. Anyway, you should drive the thief to the at the corner where there is no words, no explanation. Even go ahead. So that means that the angel says the monk presses him well. Good boy, he did it. So his tongue is pressed against the roof of the mouth. Anyway, that means you did it. If not for the Joshua reply, I don't know either. Says, the monk crashed this old fellow. He had to fall back 3,000 miles. Anyway, the judge said, I don't know either. I don't know either means, yeah, you did it, exactly did it. You crashed the old fellow dead. You completely crashed the old thief, Joshua's Zen master. Joshua the master completely hang out the white flag. And then he withdrawed 3,000 miles. And hold up. That means, anyway, I don't know. But it's not exactly hanging out of the white flag. It is not the same as we do. Okay. Great answer. The ninth note for the monk said, since you don't know, teacher, why do you nevertheless say that you do not abide with impiety? Says, says, look, where is he going? He's chasing up a tree. Look, where is he going? Okay. That means Engelsen Master says, anyway, look, Joshua, okay? Watch out. He's great Zen Master. You should watch carefully where he is going. Okay? Where is he escaping from? Your answer, your question. Okay, watch out. He's pretty good, great Zen Master. So, finally he said to Engelsen Master, he's chased him up a tree. Because, anyway, the monk driven a drive Joshu Zen Master at the corner where there is no escape, okay? No choice. That's why now he's on the verge of life and death. Great. Look, watch carefully. Where is he escaping? Where is he heading for? Okay. And then, 10, not. For Joshu said, it is enough to ask about the matter, how, bow, and withdraw. Then says, lucky thing, he has this move, the old thief. Lucky thing, he has this move, the old thief. That's great action. Did it. The Joshu did it. Very smooth. He did it. anyway, the monk, when you discuss human life and human world philosophically, psychologically, well, it drives you at the corner where there is no choice to escape. That means you are completely on the top of a 100-foot high pole, except you cannot reach. And simultaneously, that is reality in which your life is present. It is reality too. So, in whatever way you try to understand human life, intellectually or practically, but you reach the same situation. Being on the top of a 100-foot high pole, where you cannot move an inch. but you have to, you cannot stay there. You have to do something because in this reality, in many things moving and changing, that reality is something which is moving and changing constantly. You cannot stay always without doing anything. So you have to move ahead from the top of a 100-foot high pole. This is the daily living. Actually, intellectually, if you move from the top of a 100-foot high, you fear to die. But you cannot stay there. If you stay, you are frozen. If you go, you will burn out. Whatever you think. Doesn't make sense. Finally, what shall I do? This is, your reality is exactly on the verge of life and death. And then finally, what you have to do? Release. And forget yourself. And throw away yourself. Into Buddha's home.
That means completely full concentration with wholeheartedness. You have to deal with the birth as it really is before you pick and choose with your uplifted preference. This is our practice. But continually we have to do this, but still in such a sense works every day because you have accumulated for many, many years. That's why we have to handle this head. That is plastic psychology. So we have to study one by one. But urgent and urgent need, what we have to do is, anyway, to understand where we are. There is completely no choice, no choice. To escape what you get into. Not escape, not to get into. This is life. This is death. Life and death. Well, it's very simple. See, when the time comes to die, just die. But this is very simple. But this is the real death, and this is the real life. But we cannot do this easily. That's why we have to practice. So, our reality is exactly no choice. No choice, no escape. No getting into. Just like being present on the verge of life and death on the top of a 100-foot high pole. From day to day, you cannot stay there, you cannot move away. What are you heading for? Well, what should you do? No way. At that time, words complete drop off. Nothing to say. So, when the time comes to sleep, go to sleep. When the time comes to have a breakfast, anyway, have a breakfast. But this breakfast, have a breakfast, is to have a breakfast, is not something seen from at the first stage through the perception. Having a breakfast, seeing from the third stage, deep insight. Then at that time, you can handle the breakfast really with careful, compassionate, generous attention. That is release and forget yourself. Throw away yourself into Buddha's home. At that time, function comes from, not from you, from Buddha's world, truth. Then no need to effort. Something helps you, anyway. At that time, many things, anywhere what, pretty well, even though you don't realize, that is the best way to do it. The koan, this koan also teaches us in that way, and also Engelsen master really comment to this koan like this. Particularly last two notes, look where he going. He is chasing him up a tree. Lucky thing he has this move, the old tree. Very important. What we do is very simple practice with Goshikan Tari. But this simple is not simple. We usually understand the simplicity is to do something on the verge of life and death. There is no choice. To escape, to get into. This is what is Goshikan. Not just a simple way. Just a simple way. Without using your consciousness. Without awareness. Well, with full awareness. Understanding past, present, future. Nevertheless, you are not completely tossed away by past, present, future. And just continue to be present right now. From this present, broad, vast world comes up, extending to the past, present, future. This is what is called spiritual security. Whatever situation, in whatever situation you may be, you are poor, you are rich, you are clever, you are not clever, whatever, in whatever situation you may be, you really stand up straight there.
That we should love, keep away from
love. Well, that is not love and hate. Broadly speaking, that is affected differently. Many things, many emotional stuff. But we have only love and hate and the many emotional stuff. But we don't ignore them. We can't throw them away. Okay. Why? From where that term comes? Okay. Avoid love and hate because we have already. Okay. We have already means anyway we have to take care. That means you shouldn't. Okay. You shouldn't obsessed with them. And, well, not confused. You must be finally free from that. Well, in other words, what is a true love? You can say anyway. If you, while you can explain what a love is, that is not real love. Do you think so?
What I was wondering is, do you have a choice?
Of course. You should choose. But you can't always hanging on. Sooner or later you must be free. Even though love is good, but you can't always hanging on.
So you
first choose, but you must be free from finally. That means you should understand your love is, your hate is. Well, anyway, you have to read the first stage. Well, you should choose. That's why you have to choose. You have to pick. By what? By you. By you. That's why we have to be careful choosing, or for choosing and picking every day. But it is your understanding, your life. So first, it is not perfect. That's why you, if you realize it, simultaneously you get into the second stage, mountains and not mountains. And then you can research one by one. Why? That is our practice. Finally, we can come back again. Mountain, a mountain. This is first stage. So that, at that time, you can really understand what the real love is, what the real hate is, what is real meaning of afflictive constant indifference that human beings possess. That time, no words. The complete words drops off. You can, that means you can handle what afflictive preferences are day to day. In where? In which you are still free from them. This is our path.
commentaries, Engels commentaries, pretty nice. So if you have time, I'll read the commentary to this case. I don't have enough time to study with you verses, poem, and commentary to this poem. Oh.